Okay, then you get in. Tell us the MASH unit. What was that about?
Well, it was a little 7-bed unit. That was, they had a hospital there, a field hospital. They operated on me. Must have done a pretty good job, because here it is, 67 years later, and I was really upset. I was 20 years old at the time, or 21 now. I had all these scars on me. I had this great big scar right down the front of me, and my doctor, who was a great big black fella, and didn't get any of these guys' names. Wish I had them, And he said, don't worry. He said, it won't show a bit in 40 years. And he thought he was wrong. It still shows. And then later, as I was in that MASH unit, and the MASH unit consists of, like I said, 7 beds crammed together. I've got an NVA, an old NVA soldier on one side of me that died that night. And then I've got a little Vietnamese baby on the other side in the other bed, and she died. The little baby died that night. I had a guy come in about 1 o'clock, drunk and shot, just like I was, only a guy in the American had shot him. And he was drunk, pulling out his tubes, had one nurse. And when everything settled down, it was about 2 in the morning, and I'm the bed. After the guy died, I'm the bed right by her little desk, and she's crying. And, things have quieted down. She's sitting in the bed crying, and I said, what's wrong? She said, this is my first day in Vietnam. She said, I got all this. She said, I got right out of nursing school, first day in Vietnam. Wow. Guys coming in. So, there's a couple of those, and those are the most under the nurses. What they did was just, in my experience, and I saw a lot of them after that, went to Japan for a little while, and the nurses were just incredible. They just most devoted, skilled, brave people I ever was around. Yeah. Those nurses.
But I'm still interested in that wound. Wasn't it so large, and you didn't have any bandages to cover it up?
Yeah, we had a field bandage, a 3-inch by 5-inch. And I tried, and what it had done when the bullet had gone in, it had split me, and just kind of laid me open, because I was like this, handing a map to my radio man. So it hit me right here, and it just laid me open. And when the lung collapsed, then I started really bleeding. And so I tried to get a 3x5 patch in it, and it just swallowed it. So, and I was bleeding quite out. I said, well, shoot, I'm going to bleed to death here. So I laid down in the mud and just started packing mud in there. It worked,
oh my.
You do what you need to do, and that's the only way I could think of getting, because I had my shirt wrapped around Marl's shoulder, and I didn't want to get him fired up again. And you think, gosh, wouldn't you be cold? No, it was hot. You didn't miss the shirt as far as temperature-wise. So
that mud packing in kept the blood coming out, and that got you to the MASH unit. Is that
well,
true?
We had, again, this is when the helicopter pilot came out and got us. Well, there was no place to land, so they have these pulleys that come down, kind of like a submarine, only it's a pulley, and you sit on that pulley and hold the cable. Well, he's got to hover right over all this action, and he's got no armament. He didn't have a co-pilot. He'd just done this on his own. Could have got court-martialed easily. And I can just hear going up that pulley, those small arms hitting that helicopter. And I'm thinking, holy cow, that will get, and that JP-4, when the helicopters blow up, it's a nasty deal. But we made it, and that, all because he did that on his own.
So you have this wound, and then you're being pulled up, thinking that you could be hit by the bullets yourself.
That's the only time during the whole ordeal that I was scared, you know, because there's no way to protect yourself. You're, oh, my God. So
he got you into the helicopter.
And took us, and we were about 45 miles from the field hospital.
What was his name?
I don't know. Gosh, I, you know. Yep.
One of the names you'd like to remember.
Oh, well, because definitely without him, Morrow and I both are dead. No questions asked. And my other guys probably get overrun, you know.
Yeah.
So.
What about the guys who were left behind in that squad?
He came back and got them.
Did the officers realize what he had done?
You know, like I said, all he got was trouble for taking that helicopter unauthorized.
So they did give him trouble?
He told me he needed to, when he came in that night and told me the story.
Yeah.
And that he had come and got us the day before, got my Vietnamese guy. He said, I need to get out of here. Because I took that helicopter without permission, without gunships, and you just can't do that, he said, but I figured I needed to. He said, I'll make it.
Did the officers then punish him? Was he ever punished?
I don't know. He was leaving to go back to the United States. I believe it was probably an unreported incident. You know.
What a hero. But so are you. You people are heroes, but he was a hero too. Oh, he saved your life.
All of us, you know, every one of us just disregarded his safety. You know, 9 out of 10 wouldn't have flown in with the gunship protection.
Yeah.
You know, he just jumped in. And he's going home. It's not like he's going to be there for, this is his last day.
And then he went back to the United States and nobody knows what
happened. Nobody knows. He went back, mowed his yard and.
But I'm hoping he told that story to somebody.
Oh, I told it to everybody I could, you know. Right. I'm sure if I would bet you, he may have told a few buddies of his. He said, boy, you should be in the field on the last day in Vietnam, you know, or something like that. But he got no recognition.
I was just going to say, he should have gotten every medal that the Army had.
Yeah, you bet. He should have got the Congressional Medal of Honor. Just because he's, you know, those medals, like I say, they can't fly with armament, mm-hmm. protect.